In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I have a message for you and a message for me. It's from the 12th chapter of Luke, verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, to you, to me, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry." Do not worry. Worrying is useless. Just trust Jesus. Do not worry. And I'm going to tell you, so many people who believe in the Lord and given their life to the Lord are finding themselves worrying about what to eat or what to wear or do I have enough. Worrying is useless. Just trust Jesus. I told you the story when I went to the seminary. I had been away from the books for 6 years, and I went to Loretta, who was at the telephone calls, the switchboard, and I said, "Whenever you see me, I'm going to ask you for the message." She said, "What's the message?" "Worrying is useless. Just trust Jesus." And she would tell me. She would tell me that worrying is useless. Just trust Jesus. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life." Do not worry about your life. We don't have enough money. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Do not worry at all. Do not worry at all, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. We have someone who takes care of us. We have to put our trust in Jesus. You see, I know there are people hearing me today that need to hear this message, to trust the Lord, that things are going to work out. And they don't seem to be, but they will work out. All things work together for the good to those who love Jesus. Everything works together for the good to those who love Jesus. Consider the ravens or the birds. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. And yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? How much more value? Answer the question. How much more value are you than the birds? He shed his blood for you. He went to the cross for you. He was buried for you. He rose from the dead for you. How much more important are you than the birds? Infinitely more. And yet the birds don't worry. God provides for them, and he knows when one falls to the earth. And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? Of course not. Of course not. We cannot add 1 minute to our span of life by worrying. If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Why do you worry? Because you don't trust the Lord. Oh, I'm challenged by this message myself. Why do we worry? Because we don't trust the Lord. The Lord says to those who love God and are called to his purpose, all things work together for the good, that he is a supplier. Oh, yes. I remember Jeanette, who used to take care of our money for radio, and she said, "Father Tom, I learned faith through caring for the books." And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, let's say March, you start a new radio program, and February, we just had enough for February, but when March came, we got more so that we could pay for March builds." She said, "I've learned faith through caring for the books." I tell you, God knows how to supply our needs. He is the Lord who loves us. He is the Lord who gave his life for us. Jesus says, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. Now, what are these lilies? They look like poppies. They're not like Easter lilies. They look like poppies. And they're in the middle of the field. And they grow. And they're beautiful. If God cares for these flowers, will he not care for you? But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the oven by the sun, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? He's going to clothe you. He's going to give you what you need. He's going to give you what you need. Oh, you might not have to buy a sneakers for $200, but he'll give you sneakers that wear well. You know, you don't have to be like everybody else. My child needs to have all the names of the clothes that he wears. Names mean nothing. God knows how to fix us, how to clothe us, how to give us what we need. Oh, you of little faith. That's right. If he clothes the grass of the field, and you are still worrying because you're more important than the flowers, oh, you of little faith. You know what happens to me when I start worrying? You know what I say? Lord, I'm an atheist today. I'm thinking that I've got to do these things myself, and you're not going to help me. And you know what? I snap out of it. And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink. And do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Your Father knows that you need food. Your Father knows that you need clothing. Your Father knows that you need rent. Your Father knows. Of course, you've got to do what you need to do. You've got to work. But your Father knows. I know somebody that had 17 children. He worked 3 or 4 jobs. Oh, yes. Everything was provided. And he said every time we had a new baby, a new loaf of bread was given to us. Oh, God knows how to do things to us, for us. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you as well. Not the kingdom of thingdom, but the kingdom of God. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yes, little flock, you who hear the word of God and do it, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief can come near or moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Oh God, that my treasure would be in the heart of Jesus. That my treasure would be in Jesus Christ. Oh yes, not in anything else, but in Jesus Christ. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their masters to return from the wedding banquet, yes, and for Jesus to return to the earth, so that they may open the door for the master as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. You know, are you just doing God's will? Are you believing that you don't have to worry? Are you believing that things are going to work out? Are you believing that you are going to be doing what God called you to do? It is God's will that you produce fruit, people, and that your fruit would last. This is the will of God. And so prove to be the disciples of the Lord. If he comes during the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have let his house not be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man, Jesus, is coming at an unexpected hour. In other words, keep on doing what you need to be doing for the kingdom of God. Keep on believing. Keep on not worrying. Keep on depending upon Jesus. Peter said, Lord, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everyone? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and prudent manager whom his master will put in charge of his slaves to give them their allowance of food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom the master will find at work when he arrives. Truly, I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and he begins to beat the other slaves, men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour when he does not know. I tell you, God can come anytime. Jesus can come anytime. Some people say he has to build the temple first. We are the temple of God. Does he have to build the temple first? I don't know, but I do know we are to be ready at every moment for the coming of the Lord, that we are living by faith and not by our works, that we are living by the grace of the living God and not by our works. So yes, we do works. We do works because we have been saved by the grace of God, but our works do not save us. No, they don't. But we are to do good works. We go out to the people out on the street, the homeless, every Saturday. We've been doing this since, somebody said, 2005. My Lord, we've been doing this weekly. Not only during Thanksgiving, but every week of the year. People say, well, they'll get you to heaven. No, no. We do that because we are right with God, and God calls us to care for the poor, and so we do. We do. This is no star for us. We are just doing what we're supposed to be doing. It's as simple as that. We are doing what we're supposed to be doing. Let me continue. When he does not expect him, and an hour that he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. I don't want to be put with the unfaithful. I want to live by faith. I want to be put with the faithful, to those who have been faithful to God and to Jesus Christ, that we don't worry, that we're not concerned about the big things, that God will provide for our needs. That slave who knew what his master wanted but did not prepare himself or do what he wanted, will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did not deserve a beating will receive a lighter beating. From everyone whom much has been given, much will be required. Okay. The Lord has given you much. You say, I can barely get by. You live in America. The Lord has given you much. It's not like third world countries. The Lord has given you much. Oh God, thank you for all you've given us. Oh God, thank you for giving us much. Oh God, it might not seem like much, but we pay our bills every month. Oh God, thank you very much for what you've done. And what you have done, you will continue to do. Oh yes, he will. He will continue to do what he has done. For everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required, and from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. I remember when I was in Peabody, I did not want to learn how to use the dishwasher. I said, I'm doing everything, now I'll be washing dishes. Well, I did learn to do the dishwasher. And you know what? I could wash dishes with the dishwasher. But imagine how fortunate we are that we have dishwashers. Most people wash their dishes by hand. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish that it were already kindled. Do you know that Jesus came to bring fire to the earth? Oh, yes. And do you know that Jesus not only wants to bring fire to the earth, but that He separates people. I have a baptism with which to be baptized. That's his death. And what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division.
Now, this is, sounds like a Jesus we don't know. I tell you, this is Jesus telling us this.
No, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Who is dividing them?
They are being divided because they don't want to follow and trust Jesus.
Father against son and son against father. Why? Because one of them is trusting in Jesus. The other one says, no, division. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain.
Red skies in the morning, sailors take warning. Red skies at night, sailors delight.
Yes, you know how to interpret the sky and the seasons, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And so it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time,
that the Lord is coming, and he's coming at a time that we least expect, that the Father is the only one who knows the day and the hour that the Lord is coming. I want you to prepare and pray for my friend Michael McDuffie, the father. We need to pray for Michael. Father, in the name of Jesus, do what no doctor can do. Heal this man of God. Heal this man of God from the stroke that he had. Do what no doctor can do. In the name of Jesus, Michael, be healed now by the blood of the Lamb. And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? Thus, when you go with your accuser before the magistrate, on the way, make an effort to settle the case, or you may be dragged before the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny.
You know, David Wilkerson did something on the 13th chapter of Luke, which we're going to be doing in a couple of minutes. And he says, the door is shut. In other words, there are a lot of people that think they know God, know Jesus. The door is shut because they've not given their life to Jesus. They've not given their time to Jesus. They've not given their treasure to Jesus. The 13th chapter of Luke. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, do you think that because of these Galileans, what they suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than the other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. What does repent mean? Turn around 180 degrees. Turn away from your sins. Go to confession. 180 degrees. Are those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did.
Unless you what? Repent, turn away from your sins. We have a sacrament where we confess to our God and to the priest our sins, and we receive absolution by the grace of the living God. I tell you, That sacrament is not used like it used to be used. People do not go to confession. They say, what sin do I have? Well, you know what? If you don't think you're a sinner, you make God a liar. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When he told this parable, a man had a fig tree, planted it in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and he found none. God's looking for fruit in your life and in my life. Oh yes, that's what God's looking for, fruit. Fruit in the form of people. People that we have brought to Jesus Christ and who are living for him. So he said to the gardener, see here, for 3 whole years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil? He replied, sir, let it alone for 1 more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Oh, God's always giving us chances. Chances to bear fruit. How many people have you brought to Jesus? How many people do you pray for? How many people do you ask, Lord, bring me to the people that are ripe? Oh, yes, Jesus. I want to be heard by the people who are ripe so that they would come to know, love, and serve you. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, so it's Saturday. And just then there appeared a woman with the spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. Now, what's Jesus going to do? What do you think? He's going to heal her. But the Pharisees are going to say, you shouldn't be doing these things on the Sabbath. You should do them on the other days, but not on the Sabbath. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, woman, you are set free from your ailment. When he laid hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue grew indignant because Jesus had cured her on the Sabbath. And he kept saying to the crowd, there are 6 days which you ought to work, and work would be done. Come on one of those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath day untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, daughter of Abraham, whom the enemy Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free from the bondage on the Sabbath day? When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. I tell you, those Pharisees should have been rejoicing with the crowd because they saw a miracle, because there was a miracle, because a lady who was bound up by Satan for 18 years was released by the power of God. Oh, it's so sad that people of religion don't understand the power of God, the power of the resurrection, the power of Pentecost. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God cares for the birds. God cares for the flowers. God cares for the oceans. Are you not more important than all these things, that you were made in the image and likeness of God? Then why do you worry? Ask the Lord for the gift to trust, to trust, to trust. We ask that, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we would trust you with all of our hearts. And we say thank you, Father. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.